Are you recording for the radio station?
Yes.
Hey, thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate you doing that. Okay, I think we'll get started. We're just a couple minutes past the hour here. First off, so I'm Zachary Hennick. I'm alder for the district, District 10. And I am really excited to see all of you here tonight. Thank you very much for coming out and participating, being interested in what's happening in the community. Now on to the event of the evening. So we have Jacob Klein here. We have Melissa Huggins here. Kevin. And they're going to present to us kind of some of their, you know, preliminary ideas and thoughts on the Westgate Mall property. So without further ado, we've got some thoughts from J.T. Klein.
He's one of the two. Yes, he is one.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Melissa Huggins, and I am a principal planner with Urban Assets, and we do community engagement. This is our second time working with Jacob, and I'm very pleased to be here. I want to apologize ahead of time for the size of the screen. So we will make this presentation available through the Alder and through the Neighborhood Association so that you can peruse it at your leisure. So I will do the best that I can to narrate it so that it makes sense. What I would like to do is talk a little bit about the agenda, which is the first, I don't know whether we have enough. Marcus, how many do we make? The rag?
40.
Yeah, so we have a little exercise. You are way over 40, so I guess I lost the bet wherever you went. So we have an exercise that we like to do to kind of get the juices flowing and also to, you know, gather some of your thoughts. And so as we're going through the presentation, if you could do the brag, worry, envision, and wonder exercise. So what might you brag about this site in the future? What are you worried about in terms of the new development, the redevelopment? What would be your vision for this site? And then just, you know, wonderment. What are the questions that you might have? And we'll have some time at the end, if we have time, to kind of share some of those thoughts. And if we don't have time, then we will be gathering those documents up and putting them together, and they can be shared through the Alder. So introductions, thank you. We got through that. We're going to talk about the planning context, talk about the project description, and then next steps. What I want to say is, right off the bat, we are at the very, very beginning. So we're going to spend some time, you know, trying to understand the planning context. What are the plans? What's the zoning? What has the community, what has the city anticipated for this site? And then at the end, we'll have a very colorful bubble diagram, but you know, we will get into much more detail as we get through the process. All right, just checking that everyone can hear me in the back. No, not back in that corner. I'll do the best I can. Okay.
And just to step in a good spot, if you make sure that you signed in on the sheets, that's where the PowerPoint will be sent out through. So that listserv is where the PowerPoint will be sent out through, and any further communications from the Alder.
All right. So who is Jacob Klein? Now he's hiding behind over there. I told him he has to keep a very, very calm face. So Jacob has been, he founded J.T. Klein in 2014, and he's been doing this a really long time. He was actually named one of the top 50 affordable housing developers in 2016. So he does a lot of great work. We worked on one project together in Madison, 820 Park, and then he's done quite a few projects in Fitchburg and Middleton and other areas around Madison. So without further ado, this is the site that we all want to learn about. So just to orient you, Whitney Way here, Tokay and O'Dana Road, here's the Hy-Vee, and this is the redevelopment site, roughly. Generally, it is everything to the north of the edge of the drive aisle entrance for Hy-Vee, just to get that in your head. This is an amazing site, as we all know. I learned from one of the recent articles that this was one of the first malls in Madison. So this was really exciting, right? How things change. But I think what's really important within the context of what's going on here today this site is really important. It is ripe for redevelopment. You've got major corridors going by Whitney Way. You've got the West Transfer Point. You have Research Park, which is going gangbusters. And then there's an opportunity zone just across Whitney Way, which will anticipate some development there over time. You have the Hy-Vee, and you have a really great, strong neighborhood surrounding it. So this is a really great site. The other thing that is important about this site is the bus rapid transit is a project that's very important to the city, and it's anticipated that this is possibly one of the routes, and it would go to the West Transfer Point and then up Odana, rather, not the Beltway. So that's really important because that's the future of our transportation system. You cannot see this, but all of these bright colors and the size of the colors indicate growth priority areas for the city of Madison. And what's important is that right here is the site of Westgate. And this is a transforming site. So the city has had its eye on this site for a very long time, and I know that the neighborhood and city staff have been thinking about what might be here. There is generally, as we know, a need for housing in Madison. It's a problem all over the United States. I don't think that I need to go into it. You know, all types of housing, all types of tenure, rental, and ownership. But either way, we have a lot of people coming to Madison, wanting to live in Madison, and we need to provide them housing. Imagine Madison has been focused on housing, you know, so increasing the amount of available housing. And then integrating affordable housing into neighborhoods. So weaving it into neighborhoods as opposed to isolating it. And that's really been the name of the game recently. This is the bus rapid transit study. This is coming off of the recent phase one. And this is what's called the locally preferred alternative. And this for the east-west loop. And this is showing this is right where Westgate is. And what's really cool about this is, you know, bus rapid transit is a very fast transit, and often you have dedicated bus lanes, and this indicates that all the way along here is a dedicated bus lane. So that means you can get through very, very quickly. Go ahead.
Is that Whitney?
Yes, that is Whitney Way right there. So imagine Madison, this is the site right here, and the land use for this site is regional mixed use, which is actually from the land use options that you have in the comprehensive plan is the most dense and the most urban. So the city is really looking for this to be a very dense urban site, still blending into the neighborhood, but overall, you know, this is where they would put this city staff and the various community members who worked on the comprehensive plan would like to see a lot of density. So regional mixed use is, you know, high intensity centers supporting a variety of housing and commercial activities. You want it close to major streets, Whitney Way, and transportation systems. So you've got the North Transfer Point. In addition, another key term to understand is this idea of transit-oriented development. So development that is catering to areas that have really quality transit systems. So already this is a very good site because of the West Transfer site station being there. You add BRT to the mix and it becomes very, very powerful transit-oriented development. And this is very similar to regional mixed use, this idea of a very urban, dense, walkable neighborhood for people to use other alternatives of transportation.
You used an acronym, PRT or something?
Bus Rapid Transit, BRT. Bus Rapid Transit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff on the city's website about it. It's near and dear to everybody's heart.
Sure.
So the Midvale Heights Westmoreland Neighborhood Plan contemplated this site in 2009. Here it is, surrounded by Midvale Heights. And number one recommendation is the future redevelopment should respect the current neighborhood and the character. So there's ways to do that. It doesn't mean that it needs to be single family, but thinking about what it looks like, how it feels, you know, be sensitive to the surrounding neighborhood. Create increased housing options and a mix of uses. And then rake up the site with some new public and private streets. Because you've got this big chunk of land, 17 acres, and you need to get through it. Right now it's just a sea of parking. So how can you break that up? And then here's some of the, there were a number of different options that were contemplated. But generally speaking, the future redevelopment should be intentionally linked to all ped, bike, and mass transit infrastructure. Surface parking should be located behind structures, so not like we have it now with a sea of parking sitting on Whitney Way. And the open spaces should be located on the eastern side of the redevelopment. So luckily we've got the park right here. And then, so this is just some sort of general ideas of how the site could be broken up, you know, east, north, south, and east, west. And this comes from the plans. So this is just some general recommendations. The current zoning is commercial center. And in general, this is a large format retail and office zoning district that needs to transform over time. And so already in terms of the zoning, the city is thinking about what should go here and how can they make that happen. As we started to dig down deeper and working with city staff into the zoning, it became clear that this zoning district is not as flexible as we would like it to be in order to create better spaces. So they, one of the things they're recommending, and we have not landed here at all yet, we've got a follow-up meeting with them later this week, is potentially rezoning it to traditional shopping street, which is TSS. And that is really an even higher sort of mix of uses, much more urban and much more walkable. So this is a direction we could go, but we'll know for sure after a few more meetings. To date, city staff have had quite a few comments. We had a big meeting with them before the holidays. Yep. And had quite a crew. They would like to see the site, you know, breaking up the site with an improved street network and adding more pedestrian walkways. Orienting buildings to the street, right? So, you know, creating a nice front on the street. Create a connection to the park. Right now, it's sort of off there, and finding a way to integrate that and connect that to the redevelopment. Tie into the TOD and the West Transfer Point and the future bus rapid transit. And then adhere to green infrastructure requirements as much as possible. And this is very, very top of mind for the city of Madison now. I've got a couple of projects going through, and we get a lot of really hard questions about sustainability and green infrastructure. So I'm sure we will get the same here. So the project description, we were talking mixed-use development. And this is not an exhaustive list. It is just a range of options. A diversity of housing types, so anticipate having affordable, market rate, and then senior housing. A mix of surface and underground or structured parking. So in order to get the kind of development and density that we'd like to see, we're going to need to do some structured parking. And then other uses could be, improved street connections. So for sure, we will be thinking that through. And then other uses, commercial space, healthcare, those are all sort of sorting their things out in terms of the marketplace. But there's a wide variety of things that we could anticipate. And I'm going to try and set my eyes. It's for you, Kevin. That's looking really fuzzy. As good as it's going to get. Sorry, guys. So, you want to start.
All right, good evening. So we've put together just an initial concept plan to try and lay out the best use of the site. What you see on this is the Hy-Vee store.
You're going to have to use your outdoor voice.
Sorry. What you see over here is the Hy-Vee site, and this is the existing mall site right now. So what we're looking at doing is introducing a network of vehicular access and pedestrian access. Vehicular access across the site, and then off of Whitney Way as well, through here along the side of the Hy-Vee entrance, and then main pedestrian access points through the side of the site up to the park area, and then again across the site here. So what we're intending to do is along Whitney Way locate the commercial uses, potential high density commercial uses along the front here, which could be office space, retail, medical office, any of those. There's no commitment to anything at this moment. Structured parking would be located on the corner here behind the building, and then on the back side of that we would start transitioning into residential space with some multifamily housing here, and then the large portion of the site in back would also be multifamily housing. Continuing with commercial again along Whitney Way here, and then in the middle of the site we're proposing senior care housing in the middle here with median adjacencies to the main entrance points. And these would have drop-off areas as well. And again, on this backside, doing multifamily housing with a mixture of potential low-income housing and market-rate housing along the backside here. So again, just major access points across the site in two directions, and then breaking the scale down from the commercial space down into the residential to the backside adjacent to the park area.
Can I ask a question? The access that's going up and down there, would cars be able to pull up Whitney Way and get all the way over to Siegel? Because one gripe I have about that whole complex is that it's very hard at times to take a left from the IV onto Organa, where I live, because you got cars coming from every which way right, you got cars coming from Organa and Siegel from the left, and it's real hard to get out sometimes. I take that back way and get off on Siegel and go the other way if I could.
So one of the things that we will be required to do is a traffic impact analysis, and that's all the stuff that they will wrestle with so that then the city staff can make recommendations for what will work. One of the things is that, the northern eastern end of that is owned by Hy-Vee, so it's not part of this project. So, but the TIA will go a long way to help thinking through some of those issues, because it's definitely a problem.
How tall are those buildings?
Right now we're proposing a range of heights up front here, potentially from 5 to 10 stories in front.
10 stories? That's pretty big.
Yeah. Transitioning down to 4 to 5 stories on the back sections in the blue. Then the senior housing would be about 3 stories.
We did not. There's too much.
Hey, so yeah, let's go get through and then we can talk about it. One of the things about regional mixed use, which is the land use that here is here, as I mentioned, that is the densest and tallest district that the city of Madison has. And technically, though I've never seen anybody do it, and I don't know the market would ever bear it, it would allow 12 stories. So it's tall, it's urban. That's not necessarily saying what is going to happen, but it is what is allowed. Why don't you finish going through, and then we can open it up for questions. Are you all done?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
We heard purple.
Got it.
So this area here, the senior care housing, could be 4 to 5 stories tall. Same with the multifamily housing to the back. We're looking at 4 to 5 stories for these buildings as well.
So the tall buildings would be right on Whitney Way. Yes? So just to repeat the question was, how are we going to park this? Because Sequoia Commons was a real struggle getting that through, and it has not proven to be as well parked as we would like. So that will be a mix of underground and structured parking, and you know we will meet the requirements that the market demands. So I know that in general for market rate housing, you're usually talking 1 to 1.5, right, spots per unit. For seniors, it's a lot less, and then for affordable housing, it's about 1 to 1. The biggest thing that's going to drive this is what are some of the commercial uses that end up on Whitney Way. So that's a question mark right now because we don't know what that's going to be. So we're going to be solving for that problem as we go through. Yes?
How many housing units total?
Oh.
Roughly.
do some math. So a range of
60. A range of about 350 to 550?
Units.
Yeah.
How many units? Is that how many units in total?
That is the range that's possible. 350 to 500.
Okay, my question comes up. Those two that you're talking about, maybe 10 stories high? What are they facing? Which way are they going? I can't quite figure out.
Well, buildings in Madison need to be four-sided. So, it will look, it'll all look good, all four sides, but they are facing west. So the Whitney Way buildings are facing west, but they'll be four-sided buildings. So some people will be facing west, and some people will be facing north or south or east.
What you're calling the park is currently a dog park.
Yeah.
Is that going to remain that way, or are you thinking of making it a park?
So one of the question was, the park is currently a dog park, and what are our thoughts? Planning staff have directed us to work with park staff on that very question, to connect to that park, and then that might give them the opportunity to rethink that a little bit more.
How do you deal with so much underground parking when that's such a low area and flood prone?
So we'll only go down a partial way into the ground and then build above that. But we will screen the underground parking with structures, with housing units, so it won't be visible, but it's behind and slightly below. So this area up front here is intended to be at least two levels of structured parking, but again, concealed behind the commercial building in front of it, and then lined with residential units behind it.
So how much parking underground?
We would intend to have approximately one-to-one stall parking underground. For every unit, there would be a parking stall.
Yes?
How many total parking spots are you talking about on this site?
It would be in that same range of a minimum of,
350 to 550
is a unit count, but then we will have surface parking available in certain areas and along these interior streets.
I think we had one over here, and then we'll make our way around.
Somebody mentioned already, what's the propensity for flooding here, and is it water management going to be an issue?
We will have to work with city staff with regards to stormwater management for this site. We have not gotten to that level of detail yet as far as what we are up against.
Is it only the buildings on Whitney Way that are going to have ground-level commercial, like restaurants and things like that?
That is the intention right now, yes. The purple
just
will represent
those two buildings.
Possible commercial.
And then back there. Yep, you in green, and then back in gray.
So we're looking at parking to facilitate residential, but we have commercial space there as well. And we're going to have influxes during the day with parking. I'm assuming you're taking that into account as well.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be both residential and parking for retail.
Correct. Yeah, we'll have to take that all into account.
Yes.
And back to those purple commercial structures, do I understand correctly that it's the ground level is commercial and above the or is that 5 to 10 stories of quote commercial, meaning office space or something else?
It could be either or, but the intention is to have housing above the commercial.
Right there?
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Right here.
Yeah, I just to go back to the flooding, since I walked by this area after one of the big rainstorms, and numerous buildings along Whitney Way were flooded out, and owners went bankrupt over it. Thinking about the card shop, this is a sunken, at least as it is now, it's a sunken area that gets water from the streets, water from uphill, especially that large building that was the former Epic building that had hoses that went down the hillside into the parking area, draining water off of that right down into an area that was totally unable to handle it. So I would talk about flooding with your contacts at the city before you go on any further.
Yeah, we are,
yes,
we are required to have stormwater management plans, the whole nine yards. I mean, so Bruce Holler in the back here is our stormwater expert. He does a great job. Yes.
When you say multifamily homes, would that be exclusively be like apartment housing, or is any of that going to be like freestanding structures? And kind of to expand on that, are you envisioning like one large kind of apartment complex in the back there, or would it be like multiple buildings?
It'll be multifamily housing and such that it's an apartment style building,
uh-huh,
but not one large massive block, no. It'll be built into various wings and separate structures. So not one massive footprint, but that's just the zone for it right now.
The TIA will look at that, and then that is really something that city staff, that transportation engineering has to make a call on, but certainly I would imagine that they'll look at that. I think in the
what is population density? You talk about 350 to 550 units. What's the occupancy?
We haven't figured that out yet. I mean, it depends on what the unit mix is, and it's very, very early days yet. Yes.
Is that 350 to 550 including the senior housing, or is it just the... Okay, so you don't know necessarily how much of that is senior housing, but... Let's even just call it a third, third.
Mm-hmm.
You would have two-thirds that are theoretically of childbearing age, which means school kids.
Yep.
So, and you're talking with city staff about dog parks and stormwater management and everything else. Are you talking about schools?
That's a really good question. I know for affordable housing projects, you have to consult with the school district. I don't know if that is true for market rate. No, it's not. So technically we don't have to. They have a system. We can ask that question. So MMSD has a system where you say how many units and they calculate how many kids they would anticipate that project would generate.
I was wondering what percentage do you anticipate
she is putting in a plug for affordable housing and workforce housing.
Who owns all of that parking in front of Ivy?
Ivy.
They own that entire parking lot.
Well, they own all of this, and now they're selling half of it to Jacob.
Oh, okay. Will it stay parking, or will that you guys
over their dead bodies? Yes. Yes. Mike.
Yeah, so as it stands right now, there's no Class A office planned for this development.
We haven't really gotten that far. Yeah.
It'd be interesting when you do the traffic demand or the parking demand section. You know, you need a lot of interest. You got a lot of balancing with danger and parking.
Yep. So that was just, if you couldn't hear, talking about oftentimes if you've got office space and then residential, you can have some shared parking opportunities. So certainly something to look into. Yes.
Yeah, the parking issue is really critical because you go up Tokay, Whitney Way during the daytime, there's a whole line of cars parked on Tokay. Those cars would then find you parking here very convenient to get out of the street. So there's going to be pressure on parking beyond what you think.
The reality of urban living. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes.
So further with the parking and the traffic flow, exit is out west and okay. Is there going to be a curb cut through the divider so that people who need to go north can cross over, or is that's another flow issue you guys need to consider?
Right. To be discussed with traffic engineering. But yes, I mean certainly that's come up. It really depends on the spaces between, you know, where the street, you know, begins and ends, and so yeah. Yes.
I'm not familiar with Hilldale. I haven't worked there for quite a few years. And Hilldale Center, it's a much different shopping center than it used to be. It does have a couple of tall buildings, but they're behind it in their housing. But do you anticipate this to look? Be similar. I mean, you've got a very successful grocery store at Hilldale on one side, here the same way. We have housing all around the building. But the stores that are in there now are quite different than the stores that used to be in there. But it seems to me that it's a fairly successful building, but it is more dense. Do you see this moving towards that kind of a mall, or do you think that there's significant differences between the two?
So I would say the days of this being a mall are over. So this is going to become, the days of this being a mall are over. I think what you're going to have here is a neighborhood with a really great supermarket right next door.
You have retail going to come in here though, aren't you?
Some retail, but nothing, not like Hilldale.
Okay.
Just be restaurants. We lost three restaurants. They're looking forward to a restaurant.
Did you catch that, Marcus? Restaurants. All right, I'm losing track. Yes. To be determined. I mean, for sure, some of
the question.
Yes, the question was, what would the funding source be? To be determined, but certainly the affordable housing will applying for City of Madison housing funds, some sort of WIDA tax credit, and then as for TIF, that's really to be determined. Was what would the mix of size units? So in the rental market, we have a lot of ones and two bedrooms, but families need three and four bedrooms. And that, again, is to be determined. Certainly the workforce housing, the funding source from WIDA pretty much dictates the mix of twos, of threes, twos, and ones. Very rarely are there fours. There are some, but I think that's to be determined.
So, betraying my ignorance, what is workforce housing?
It is the way of saying affordable housing in a way that is palatable to some people. The question was, what is workforce housing? And I know that I am neglecting this corner, so there we go.
Has there been any consideration for, I'm hearing just rental, any condominiums, whether it be for the senior folks or for the general population?
So the question is everything rental, and has there been a consideration for condos? I will tell you that the work that J.T. Klein does is exclusively in rentals, and banks are still not interested in funding condos. So the unless you have it 75% sold. So really there's just not an appetite by the banks and other investors to invest in condominiums. There and then there. So,
I like how you're incorporating everything into the, we're trying to incorporate it into the community with the pedestrian walkway. And I'm wondering how you guys are thinking about incorporating the rest of the community portion. I guess what I really like about Westgate, even though by the time I moved to the neighborhood, it was in its not heyday, it was a godsend because I had a two-year-old. And other people had grandkids, or they wanted to go to the book sale or the crossroad. And so walking around, and even mall walkers would go through there. So it was really a gathering place where people could also shop, and that's probably why TJ Maxx and the crossroad got so much of my money. But I'm wondering how you'll move beyond just that pedestrian walkway and kind of pull people in a little bit more and invite them to stay.
So the question is, you know, Westgate, despite its decline, was a really great community gathering space, particularly during inclement weather like we are today. And is there anything in this new development that might do that? That's really to be determined. I mean, the streets certainly are going to be, they're going to be the kind of streets that you want to walk on. They'll be pedestrian friendly. They will not be, you know, Whitney Way whizzing like that. It'll be, you know, much more walkable. But as for community uses, still working on that.
Yes, given you have squares for each of the type of the housing there, but is there any green space that suggested within each of these areas so that it's a breakup of different kinds of housing units?
Yeah, especially on this western or eastern section here, there will be a substantial amount of green space intermixed between buildings.
I just want to repeat the question.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. So he's asking whether or not there's any green space in here.
So yes, as I was saying, we do intend to incorporate green space between buildings as they're laid out here, and then also throughout the area up front here.
Yes.
A large commercial property like this, does construction occur on these spaces 24/7, you know, at nighttime, or does construction shut down at 5 or 6 o'clock at night?
So we've got a Chris Wells from city staff, and he can talk about the ordinance, but work cannot start. It's 7 to 5, right? Yeah. So you're restricted. Yes?
What would you envision as a reasonable schedule for this to roll out? Would all of the development take place at one time, or would it be staged?
That's a great question. It is likely to be phased. So the question is everything going to happen at once, and what's the timeline? So this is a great segue into next steps. So where we are right now is in planning and design. So working through the concept plan. I think we're in the pre-concept plan right now. That's how early we are. We'll need to go to development assistance team, which is a team of representatives from all of the city departments for them to weigh in. Then we'll move into schematic design. It gets more detailed, design development, even more detailed, and then construction documents. As far as the community engagement, so today we're at the first neighborhood meeting, going to the Midvale Neighborhood Association tomorrow for just a discussion. We are hoping to go to the Orchard Ridge Neighborhood Association, and those don't have to be one stops. I mean, we may be going back to them depending on how things are going. And then we anticipate having two more neighborhood meetings before we finish. We hope to submit our land use application. So that's the official application to the city of Madison in April. And usually it is, and that's just for the rezoning. And usually it's a 4 to 6 month process. So your first building could be in the ground next fall, just in the ground. So that would be the timing. But if it's phased, that would just be one building and move on to the next after that. Yes?
I'd like to put in a plug for community meeting space.
Okay.
We've got the library that closes at 9 o'clock, or Midvale Lutheran, and that's pretty much it, at least for Midvale Heights.
Sure. It's a problem in this neighborhood. I run into that a couple times. Projects. Yeah.
This is probably coming from a place of ignorance, so.
No worries.
I'm just kind of curious that you're putting the tallest buildings right on Whitney Way, and then the lowest buildings are backing up to that steep hill.
That's a
rather than having the contour of the buildings following the natural contour of the land.
So that's a great comment. I don't know if you want to address that.
What we're doing is trying to keep the commercial and the high volume use up towards the main artery streets, and then the residential, the quiet sections, more towards the green space.
Well, I guess that's not exactly my question. It's not whether the commercial should be on the front, on the Whitney Way side, but whether the commercial should be 4-story and the apartment building that's going to be up near the hill should be the taller portion. Because it just seems it would be less intrusive.
It's, I think in 20 years, up and down Whitney Way, you will have tall buildings, kind of like what happened to East Washington. I think one of the things about having the lower buildings here is that it transitions to the single-family residential neighborhood a little bit more easily.
That's epic.
What?
That's epic.
I know it's epic there, but the neighborhood is right over here, right? So that's one of the things that was in the neighborhood plan. Yes?
Well, when we did the neighborhood plan, we were thinking of putting taller buildings back there as well, partly because it's kind of below a hill. So, you know, the first three stories aren't even going to keep over the hill.
Okay.
And now you've got a, I don't know, a three-story apartment building across Seago. So I don't think that's, you know, a generally good argument. I mean, I think it makes more sense to have lower buildings in the front. And, you know, whether it's commercial on the one floor and then offices, you know, doctor's offices, that kind of thing, I think it helps. It just seems to me that you've got five stories right up on Whitney Way. Nobody's ever going to know what's behind it.
Can we just limit the height of the buildings to six floors or something like that?
12
is way too high.
Yeah.
Well, 2016, Imagine Madison was adopted, and that's the land use, so that's what's allowed there. The rationale for this site? So there's a couple of rationales. I can go back to... So one of the things that we know about our city is that it needs to grow significantly to accommodate the people who want to live here. Another thing that we know about life in general is that we want to build density in proximity to, right next to, good transit. So this site is surrounded by really good, a good street network. It has got the West Transfer Point. It has direct, it is one block from the Beltline, and it is a giant sea of concrete. So one of the things that we know we want to do is take these giant seas of concrete and turn them into neighborhoods. And we also know that we want to have as much density in proximity to transit as we can so that more people can live and use transit to get around. So that's part of the rationale. Yes?
Can you go back to the diagram with the buildings?
Yep.
What is the brown section or gold section in the blue?
That brown section between the purple and the blue is representative of structured parking. So there's structured parking below, and it'll be occupied area on top.
And my other question is, do we have any idea what's going to happen to the cars across the street?
Well,
this whole picture.
So as I mentioned at the beginning, that's an opportunity zone, which is a really fancy way for people who don't live here to make a lot of money. But that's good because they're going to invest in our community, right? So, sorry, I'm wearing my colors a little too brightly. Anyway, yes, that is a way of trying to help communities redevelop areas that otherwise wouldn't attract development. So I would certainly hope that something would happen to COPS in the future. Yes?
You keep bringing up the West Transfer Point.
Yep.
There's not a lot of facility there.
Nope.
I understand why you want to keep transit corridors, but using that as a center for that argument, there is not much there. That could be relocated.
Absolutely.
Pretty much anywhere.
Yeah,
so
the question is about
the. I don't think that's a good argument to keep the transit there.
So these things go like this, right? So at the same time, we've got the phase one of bus rapid transit is complete, phase two is about to kick off. And at the same time, Metro has issued an RFP to rethink all of the routes, including the location of the transfer points. So this is all being thought about all at once. So one of our stops will be to go talk to Tom Lynch, the director of transportation, about how this site might help with the transit goals of the city. So yeah, right now, yeah, the transfer points, they were a bad idea. How they're structure, they're not friendly, they're not safe, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why they need to be changed, and the city's working on that.
You know, and I'm not against that staying there, but, you know, if there's enough energy or whatever to, you know, keep that viable, but...
It doesn't need to stay
there.
It could be moved, for sure. Yes. Yep.
I want to thank you for taking on this challenge. This is one of the four entryways into the west side of Madison. And I think it's a blighted area. I've lived in Madison my entire life. And this is how you get to the Research Park, into CUNA, into some of the nicer facilities in Madison. And you're going to be starting
the process of making that whole area look good. So I really want you to, you know, you're going to be the ones that are doing it, and it's a big challenge.
He's taking on that risk.
I mean, I appreciate you taking on that challenge. It is a major entry point into Madison, and it's got to look nice. And I just want to thank you for taking on that challenge of doing it.
Thank you. Over here and then over here.
So going back to the topic of the height of the business structures along Whitney Way, one of my concerns is the natural transmission of natural light, especially in our winter months. The taller those buildings are, the buildings behind, the residents behind, they're going to be shadowed, especially, as I say, in the winter months. They'll get squat.
That's a great point. And we will do, I mean, as a part of the development, hey, Ed, he's hiding over there.
I just want to build on what you just said. I'd encourage you to do a couple of section studies through the site. And it may not be as simple as four stories here, 11 here, and 10 here. There might be a mixing and matching. Just create a holistic mess instead to address energy, solar. You don't want these to be dark canyons.
Yep.
In 6 months out of the year. Plus, think of playful rooftop massing that would also incorporate semi-public spaces on some of these roofs for residents, but equally important as a visual element for the story to use. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here for the gentleman's comment over there. It's going to be spectacular. But instead of just looking at it dimensionally, if you do a couple of cross-sections, how it relates to the park and all that, might help solve some of the problems.
Thanks.
Good point. Susan.
Yes. I'm just curious, when we did the neighborhood plan, we talked to the research park and were told by someone over there that people who come to the research park were always complaining about the fact that there was never a hotel anywhere near there. Has there been any consideration to putting a hotel on the site? That was one of the things that they had suggested. Or are they building one further down the way?
Certainly, so the question is there a possibility for a hotel to be a part of this development? Certainly, it's a possibility.
We talked to two pretty prominent Madison hotel developers early on, and neither of them had any interest at all. What they told us, you know, was that the West Side market was overbuilt for hotels, and they weren't interested. And I do know that. I've heard that as part of another project down the street that's going in the research park, that they have a hotel intended for there. So we went down that road, but that was the response we got.
So I'll take two more questions, and then I think we have until 8. What I would like to do is have people talk about their worries and their wonders. So these two, you first.
I have an easy one for you. A moment ago you were talking about timeline, and you made a reference to putting the first building in the ground next fall. Were you talking about 2020 or 2021?
So in a perfect world, if the city of Madison process went like this, I'm talking 2020. It's unlikely, but yes. I'm not dissing you, Chris. Yes.
So I just want to play off a couple of comments. I completely agree that there's a lot that can be done. Wholeheartedly with you. At the same time, I'm terrified by the thought of Whitney Way looking like East Washington. Now, don't get me wrong, they've done a marvelous job working with East Washington. It's great to have sections of the city that look like that. But I don't know that we want all of Madison, all of our big corridors. If I wanted to live there, I would have moved over there. I lived over there because it felt more neighborhood like, not tall, adjacent structures. And it would seem that there's a lot of ways to do this, that you don't have to have these big imposing structures laid up against the wall. And I just really encourage you to consider that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right, last one.
We didn't hear what he said.
Oh, he wants to consider being sensitive to the surrounding neighborhood and not just do an East Wash, but make sure that the buildings are more welcoming and accommodating to the neighborhood.
Who makes the final decision on how tall the buildings are going to be?
Common Council. Yeah, so we'll go to the Urban Design Commission, we'll go to Plan Commission, and we'll go to the Common Council for the rezoning.
Which council?
common council, your alders. That is your man who you need to talk to. So, yes?
I just have one question regarding TOD. I've seen examples of TOD working really well along light rail in this country. I have not seen TOD happening along buses with rapid transit. And I'm wondering if you have examples of it, particularly if it's driving a financial model.
Yeah, I don't know that we have examples driving a financial model. I know that in cities that have really gone, you know, full bore into BRT, like Minneapolis, that it's starting to percolate up, but it's not as tried and true as light rail. The question is whether or not transit-oriented development can be successful with bus rapid transit as opposed to light rail. And I think the jury's still out. But you do a lot more research than I do, so. So I just would like to, we handed out the rag worry wonder, rag, worry, envision, and wonder. I just wondered if one person for each one of those could contribute what they have. So who has a brag that they'd like to share? Nobody did it because you were so interested in the presentation?
Don't be shy.
No? Okay.
Anybody have anything they'd be really excited about? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. In the back, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Talking about a senior center, I have this idea not so much as senior care, as an independent living kind of thing, but a great kind of facility that's kind of like neighborhoods that has open space, meeting areas for people. Just a slightly different model of senior living. I can't quite describe it, but I sort of have an idea. That would be a real great.
Can you write that down so that we can capture that?
All right.
That'd be great. Okay, that's a brag. Yes?
I would love to see a micro commercial. So, Switzerland and Europe, they have little shops where a small business can have a very small footprint retail shop where they can start a business, and then if it's successful, then they can transition out to a larger business or a larger retail. That seems to me that Madison has really inexpensive commercial space. Like you put these big high rises up on East Washington, well, the rent rates are so incredibly high, restaurants turn over fast, most businesses can't pay that rent. But if you have a smaller spaces for commercial, I wonder if that could help any more sort of business incubators or helping these smaller.
Great idea. So the idea is to have small spaces for micro businesses to be nurtured and to grow somewhere as a part of this.
What about a space that's, I don't know how large, but I think about the farmer's market on the east, way over on the east side.
The public market?
That nobody can get to because it's so far away and there's
Garver.
No parking.
Garver, yes.
And I'm just wondering if you couldn't have a space that could transition in and out of different venues, like a farmer's market on Saturday during the winter, into something else. I mean, I would think there would be all kinds of things that go in there, art show or I don't know, but.
Yeah.
A larger space that could be utilized by the community.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes?
It's quite close to the development of the campus. But I have to say that this area around the way is probably one of the hardest places to walk in this area.
Yes.
So I do really hope that this can become more walkable.
So, yes. City staff is pushing us that way, wider sidewalks, the whole nine yards, so yes.
I have a concern about the parking. What about all the families that have two cars? Where does that second car go? And is there a chance that they can go over to Heidi's parking? Because I see this as being a nightmare trying to get in and out of Heidi.
You know, a lot of families have three cars now, too.
Yeah. We're in transition from bars to. So the question is, what are we going to do with people's second cars and third cars? And you know, that's a management issue more than anything. I'm sure Hy-Vee will be policing their parking lot pretty carefully, but certainly that's a management issue.
And I'm going to have to step in. We're out of our time here. So the comment cards that we handed out at the beginning, any questions that didn't get answered, please put them down on there. And I will make sure that I'm communicating with JT Klein and making sure that those comments are, we're getting some responses. Put your email, phone number on there. I want to be respectful of people. But one other thing, do you have anything else before we wrap up?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to try and wrap this up. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of put back to you guys was the things that I've been hearing tonight. So that's my job at this, is to listen, right? Because I'm the one that's going to be sitting in every meeting that happens here, making sure that what I'm hearing from all of you is being heard. So the things that I was hearing were a gateway to the West Side. So making sure that this is something that people think of as, this is where we want to be, this is where we want to be going, this is, it looks nice, it's someplace that welcomes people to this area. Then thinking about the parks, making sure that it's not just a dog park, that we've got facilities for all of these new families that would be coming to the area. The amount of parking is going to be a big question, making sure that the parking isn't overflowing into neighborhoods, making sure that there's sufficient parking for the kind of density that the city ends up looking at there. Traffic, making sure that we're looking for ways for the community to be able to, the neighborhoods to be able to get where they need to go without this being a significant hindrance. Making sure that the different intersections that we're looking at here, the Odana-Whitney, as well as coming out onto Whitney Way, coming out onto Odana, and then that through street to Sego I heard earlier, some concerns there. Making sure that this isn't a car-oriented only development, making sure that it's very welcoming to both biking, pedestrian traffic, alternative modes, making sure that our alternatively abled people are welcomed and being able to get where they need to go. The school district, that was a good one that I hadn't heard before, so making sure that we're communicating with the school district, that's something that I will make sure and follow up on. Some ideas of senior community living. One of the things that I've been making sure to present and push a little bit are one thing that it was brought to my attention that this mall was used a lot in the wintertime for seniors walking. So folks that walk in the summer around neighborhoods, they come inside, they walk around the mall in the wintertime. So trying to figure out a place for that to happen and see if we can accommodate that in any new development that's put through here. Then also the mix of affordable versus non-affordable and making sure that we're supporting that affordable aspect, but making sure that there's a lot of studies out there that say you need to have a mix. You can't do all one, you can't do all the other. We need to make sure that this is a good mix of affordable versus market rate housing. Looking at the number of bedrooms, which is something that I've been pushing from the beginning. We've got a lot of families in Madison. We want to be family friendly. We want to, you know, be supporting our schools. So those 3 and 4 bedroom units are something that I'm going to try and make sure that we're getting some of in the mix. Looking at the park access, you know, when we look here, there's two things. One with the development, new development, you can do fees in lieu of designated park space. So one thing we're really trying to do is make sure that this isn't an island, that the pedestrian traffic is welcomed into that park on the back side so that there's a good back and forth and that this isn't a urban island, that we're making sure that green space is really important. Then community meeting space, the topography, looking at where those heights are and making sure that we're taking advantage of the topography to utilize that in the best way possible. Then the section studies to make sure that we're looking at that. And the light distribution, making sure that all these buildings don't turn into a cavern. Micro-commercial, and that sums up a lot of what I heard tonight. Did I miss anything?
They did say that all of the housing is rental.
Yes.
Don't you think like half of it should be condominiums?
So it would be nice, but like they said, it's not really something that you can't get financing for it. So when you look across Madison, even across the country, I mean, you look at Denver, they've had huge expansive growth and almost no condos. So it's just not something that you can get funding for. So it'd be nice if we could push for it, but at the end of the day, I can talk to them blue in the face, but if no bank is willing to finance that, you can't put a shovel in the
ground. Isn't that just a temporary thing?
Nah, it's been for a while. It's not my specialty, but I do know they're not the only ones I've heard that from. It's definitely been significant. Yes?
I've heard a couple mentions, and I'd echo the need for restaurants. It would be so nice to have something to walk to in that area, or even the idea of putting in, like, there's a lot of breweries popping up around town. That would draw in a lot of people.
Yes. And one thing, just raise your hand. One thing I was looking at is how important is retail? We have a lot of empty storefronts. And so looking at how important that retail is, if we can't fill it, is it really a big push? So I think that some is definitely important, especially on that restaurant front. And that's one of the benefits to getting a little bit more density is that you can support those restaurants, right? Especially a lot more. There are studies out there that people that live in apartments tend to utilize, you know, the restaurants that are close to them more often. So that's a good thing to support some of that restaurant industry. But that's a very good point. So raise your hand if that makes sense and if you agree with that, that retail isn't necessarily a top priority here, but we want to make sure we get space. Okay.
One question. Are there going to be some contractual limitations forced by Hy-Vee? Like they can't have a grocery store, there are certain things they can't sell.
I'm sure that...
So we need to look at that and see what is allowed.
Yep, so I've heard of a couple of them. I'm sure that Hy-Vee is going to put some of those in place. I know they have put a couple. I know they're not going to let them put a grocery store next door. That's guaranteed. We're not going to have another grocery store next door here. But yes, that's definitely something we're looking at.
Gentlemen,
yes,
sir. Wisconsin Crafts recently closed.
Yes.
That was a jewel. It was really special, that part of Westgate.
Yep, and we did communicate with them and try and find them another location, try and work with them. They didn't want to relocate. That was their decision that they wanted to close. So they didn't get pushed
like
out.
That would be really attractive.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
So, picking up on that, because the craft market and retail and everything, it's been my thought for a long time that had Westgate been developed sooner, Hy-Vee bought the property, they were going to develop to their grocery store, developed the other half, nothing happened, they sat on it. I'm sure there's been some activity, but nothing came to fruition. I don't know about, our Alders, had they pushed Hy-Vee to get that developed sooner, we might not have lost, Wisconsin Craft Market, Hancock Fabrics.
Sure. So just to comment a little bit on it, so ever since, this was one of the biggest things that I've been pushing. I got in touch with Hy-Vee right away when I was elected, made sure I was in communications. They had a turnover of their board. It's a 7-person board. It is a employee-owned, so they run it kind of like a government aspect. So it's a committee that oversees this. They had 3 out of the 7 committee members turn over just in the last year and a half. So there's been a lot of turmoil on that end as well. So there has definitely been some pushing, but I can see what you're saying there, definitely. Yep. We got to run here, so let's make these questions, these additions quick. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say anything that you can build and fill is better than what's there now. Getting the space open is like the top priority.
We didn't fill them out.
Oh. Any of the questions? Those?
Over here.
Sure.
I've got cards.
Yep, and the comment cards, let's just finish these last couple. Raise your hand if you've still got something. We good? Okay, there we go. We got two here.
I was going to say, along those same lines, I view this as a space where we bring people in, where we talk about creating a neighborhood, making it a community center, aside from the retail and the restaurant, what are the other ways you can bring people in?
Good question.
I would say that
so this is one that I've been pushing really hard is childcare. It is really difficult. So we've been doing this on a couple different places throughout the city. I've been working with Coral Manning at the city who does our childcare certification programs. There is funding to work on that. That's something that I've been really digging in deep with, but it is really hard, especially when you're looking at for-profit versus non-profit and who that childcare is going to be able to serve and what the population is around. It's a really complicated, but I definitely hear that one, and I'm pushing hard on it. We had one more over here. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard 20 people each say one thing that was important, but there's only one thing I've heard is 10 people say that's important, and that's parking. So I want to
be parking. So I'll put it on here 4 times. Parking is very important.
Yes.
Who was saying something?
You don't want to have the problem that Hilldale had with the new state office building where everything was in the street.
Or Sequoia Commons, or, yes. No. Yep. Okay, last one. These two.
I was just going to say, from the alder standpoint, the city standpoint, as this happens, I have additional ideas. Make sure we're keeping city service. We weren't able to afford the ambulance, we weren't able to afford enough cops, and then we had 500 housing units. And if we continue to do this and we aren't increasing city services, it's unsustainable. It's
completely hear that one. Thank you. Thank you for saying it. And yes, last one here.
Yeah, I just want to go back to, I mean, we all took a vote and said retail wasn't that effective, but in the grand scheme of things, if there is commercial development along Whitney Way, how much control does the developer have over what you build in there? I mean, those spaces will be marketed. And just like Sequoia Commons, we start with certain businesses, they come, they go, they come, they go. And pretty soon, whatever parking you plan for those initial businesses doesn't work, because now we've got new businesses that have a lot more people coming at the same time. So I don't know how much, really, how much our voices are going to matter in that at the long term.
Okay.
And that's just a question I have. We can say we want less retail, we want restaurants, we want this, we want that, but I don't know how we're going to get that.
Yeah, okay. Ask those questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for coming tonight. One thing I'll say, make sure that you signed in. That's how more information will come out to you in an email. And leave your comment cards on the table, please. Thank you very much for coming.